This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
All right, so if we get into some of the positions that you really like, Commanders don't have a third rouner, so you get into that fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round. Is there a position that you really like? Running back seems to be kind of the consensus, in part because the positional value, it's always going to be in the mix there, but this class in particular seems pretty deep. But there, whether it's an agreement there or another group that you're like, man, if I got a hole here, I think I can find a really good football player in the back half of this draft. What position?
Yeah, I think running back for sure qualifies as that. I also think DT is going to end up being fourth round. There's going to be some DTs that are going to be able to start for you. Just because I'm looking at my DT board, and I'm like, not this many usually go in the top 100. There's like my, I probably have like 15 defensive tackles in my top 100. I'm just like, that's not, you don't see that many go in the top 100. So guys like CJ West from Indiana, I think he's an ass kicker on the interior, like a true nose tackle that can play the run at a high level. He's 6 foot though. I don't think he goes in the top 100. Someone like Vernon Broughton from Texas, who has like some juice to his game, who could be a pass rusher. I'm not sure he goes in the top 100. Jordan Phillips from Maryland, another like big, strong nose tackle who can play with good leverage. I'm not sure he goes in the top 100. There's just a lot of DTs that 4 or 5 are probably going to slip down boards into the fourth round. And that's where I'd like to take some of these guys. I think you can still get a player in next class.
Love that. Love that call out. And the other thing I want to ask you about was like receiver specifically, because like usually there's like a nice tail to the receiver class. And obviously we talked about the top, maybe not, definitely not the strongest this year, but I do feel like there are some diamonds in the rough later on that could be interesting.
Well, there's this receiver class has speed. I think uniquely there are so many like 4-3 guys who aren't terrible, you know, like that can be, you know, like an Olamide Zaccheaus. Like they can play that role where it's just like, yeah, he's just doing a couple things, but you really don't need him to do much more. Trying to think here, Keandre Lambert Smith from Auburn, I think can be that guy. Jalen Lane for Virginia Tech, Dante Thornton from Tennessee. I mean, I mentioned Kyle Williams, who knows where he's going to go. Washington State, because he hasn't gotten a lot of hype throughout the process. So Isaiah Bond from Texas, he's probably going to fall because of character concerns, but like that guy can roll too. So there's so many speed wide receivers that could very well end up on day three that, you know, I don't think you're ever going to confuse them with, you know, Deshaun Jackson, but they're guys who can in that offense, especially when you have one of the best deep ball throwers in the NFL, a quarterback, just come on the field for 10 snaps a game and maybe hit a big one.
Yeah. Do you think like a guy like Xavion Williams is now a fourth round guy? Like, where does he fall in that?
Xavion Williams is like
from TCU, by the way.
TCU wide receiver. He played like some running back. He's kind of that hybrid whatever that a lot of that has come out a lot in recent years is like a LaVisca Chenault type, where he'll take handoffs, you get the ball in his hands, and then let him roll. But I just watch him run routes, and I'm like, I don't see a wide receiver, like a polished wide receiver, but he's a scheme touch sort of guy. So I think, given the track record of like a lot of those guys who have come out, and I mentioned LaVisca Chenault and like his struggles, they haven't panned out more often than not. Your Antonio Gibson's, you uniquely know, was in that mold. So I think he's probably going to end up on day three, unfortunately, because of that.
So the thing that's funny about those guys is like AG was a 1,000-yard rusher as a rookie. So it wasn't bad. They just never figured out, can we unlock a new level? Maybe there wasn't necessarily a new level to unlock. And offensively, a lot of those guys haven't done great. But defensively, there's been a couple of guys where it's like, I don't know his position. And those guys are Brian Branch and Cooper DeJean. And it's like, these are studs. These are Pro Bowl, all-pro caliber players in Branch's case. And DeJean certainly looks like if he gets a full season under his belt at the level he played last year, he's going to be right there as well. So do you look at the offensive guys as this is a coaching failure, or is it just that much harder to do on that side of the ball for these positionless guys, and you kind of – you almost need a position, need a role, as opposed to being able to get in the flow of a game without one, where you're just, every time you're in, everyone's like, hey, he's going to get the ball at the NFL level.
Yeah, I think you need a role in the NFL, unfortunately, because say you're one of the top three wide receivers, you can't just be incapable of running whatever route's called, right? If you can't just game plan around to feed a guy who's like, you know, need scheme touches. So you have to be able to do the entire playbook. And so if you can't do that and be reliable, you just won't see the football field in the NFL. They'll just say, you know, sorry, but we have someone who can. It's just too important to have that ability to not be a liability. So yeah, it's harder to kind of scheme guys touches. Whereas at the collegiate level, a lot of times that scheme touch guy, he's your best athlete. And once you get to the NFL, Steven Williams all of a sudden isn't your best athlete anymore. He's kind of like just a guy at the NFL level comparatively. So a lot of times he's the best athlete. So yeah, you get the ball in his hands a bunch, but it just doesn't work like that. You got to be a supreme athlete to really get by at that, doing that at the NFL.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I just think it's interesting that like on the defensive side, it's kind of like, is this guy safety? Is he a nickel? I don't know. Get him out there. And then it's worked.
Well, the nickel's kind of evolved into almost more valuable than safety at this point, because you're just involved in so many more plays. You're a linebacker and you're a corner. Like, you're a linebacker for run purposes, but a corner for pass down purposes. So like a lot of times that's you're coveting those guys even more now. But in this class, there's not a lot of good slots. Last year had a lot of slot corners. This year I'm like I don't think any of these guys are slots. Like, a lot of the safeties last year were like, oh yeah, they're safety slash slot. This year the safeties are all like true safeties. I think Andrew Mukuba is the only one from Texas who I'm like, okay, he could play the slot. But everyone else, I think, is pretty much a true deep, two high or single high safety.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I got a question about it going the other way. Linebacker to maybe safety, kind of big nickel, and ran Medrano. Is that how you say his name, from UCLA, the number 20? Is that how you say his name? You know what I'm talking about?
I have not watched him. Kane Medrano, dude, that one?
Dude.
Okay, should I put him on the list? All right, sorry.
So I don't want to overhype him, but like he did well at the combine. Like, he tested well, ran a good 40, mm-hmm. had an excellent three-cone, sub-7 three-cone, good vertical jump. And he kind of plays like this Will linebacker, but plays Mike, plays on the edge, like defensive end for them sometimes. I thought this would be an interesting kind of like the other way. You know what I'm saying? Because he's like 220. You know what I'm saying? So you haven't watched him, but
add him to your list, Renner.
I just did. I literally did. I see what he was talking. I'm trying to think of anyone who has done that, if there has been anyone. I thought, who's the Buffalo linebacker? Terrell Bernard, I thought, could have. He's like 215 pounds. They just like kept him at linebacker, though. I'm not sure if anyone has done that in recent years. That's a good call out.
And it's interesting because like he does play a little bit of that like star role. So like I just was like, and I just happened to have watched him last night for a linebacker show we did for another podcast I do. And I was like, I wanted to ask you about him because I do think it's the other way. Like he's got good man skill, but again, does that translate to the NFL? He's got great movement skill. He's got a nice playmaking feel. But interesting kind of the other way, you know.
Well, I know Fred Warner was a star in college, BYU. Yep. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah was a star at Notre Dame. It's if you could do that well, I feel like if you're a good player in that role in college, that bodes well for what you can do in coverage at the NFL level.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, let's wrap up with this one. Your favorite day three prospect or prospects? Like you're a guy that's almost the guilty pleasure. I'm watching this guy. I just love his tape, even though I know he's going to be a sixth round pick.
Well, I would have said David Walker, Kyle Williams, but I think like at this point they're probably going higher than that. Just from what
you
I've
think,
heard.
Kyle Williams. I mean, he didn't.
Your
run
fault
well.
On Walker, man. You're just pumping him up the draft board.
We'll see.
His agent should call you for sure.
Well, I listened to Chris Sims because Chris Sims had him wide receiver two, and he said,
"Did you really?"
He had him wide receiver two. So Chris Sims said he got text afterwards about it that from GM saying you're dead right about this or something or like you're dead right or so. I like if that's the case. Hard to see him falling outside the top 100. I think CJ West from Indiana is probably my favorite. I know his agent used to work at PFF. He said he hopes he gets into the third round, but like, you know, is probably more realistically going in the fourth. So him or probably either Harold Fannin Jr., the Bowling Green tight end. I don't think he goes top 100, but
are
I
you
love
in?
That guy's
are you in on him? I've talked to a bunch of people about him. You're in.
I love his game. What do you think about this tight end class, Logan? Because we haven't talked about tight ends. Obviously, I don't think a commander is going to be coveting that position. But like
they could, by the way,
interesting. Well, they went second.
So I think the thing for me is like he's interesting and he does separate well on like corners and like kind of posts. I wonder about his short area quickness. And again, like, am I going to put him on the field over like a true slot receiver? Probably not. Like when I look at like Zach Ertz is a great example because the Commanders fans just saw him. Like he brings a skill set that is unique to a receiver. Is Harold Fannin Jr. a receiver plus? I don't know. So I kind of lean more towards like the bigger body, like, you know, Aronde Gadsden, Terrence Ferguson, and that kind of like true F role. Guys with some horsepower and some juice, some size, but it's weird. It's a weird watch because he led the FBS in receiving. Like, what the heck are we talking about? So obviously it works. He killed Penn State. He looked good at the Senior Bowl. I don't know what to do with him.
And the coaches there talked about him as if he was like a god. They're like, this guy's like a different. I mean, obviously, like he was 50% of their passing game. So like, obviously you're going to talk about. But they are saying like, you know, in practice, he's never seen him drop a ball. That they thought like he could have played two ways and played linebacker too, and that they like debated it like he was that good.
He just runs weird. I think it's the running. He runs weird.
He's super knock kneed, and then
pigeon toe.
It's the other way. He's out.
Duck footed.
Yes. And so like he literally can't turn with that, but he can like outcuts because like just physiologically he can really stick his foot in the ground and bounce out of it. So you know when you watch him on a corner, it's like. He doesn't lose speed because his body is like not even, it's kind of just how he runs. So
I think you articulate, I was listening to something you said the other day where it's like you know, to do that, your knee has to be inside your foot.
Yes.
And his knee is like always inside of his foot.
Yeah, it's always.
which is bad for running straight, but if I want to change direction, it's pretty good. So.
Yes. So
there you go.
You're in. You're in. Day
it's science. We're in. That's somehow where we're going to end this podcast. Mike Renner with us here on Take Command. You can catch him on all of CBS Sports programming and everything leading up to the draft, including on their website, the mock drafts and the write-ups and everything there. And then, Mike, the name of your podcast, if people want to check out you in podcast land.
Pushing the Pile.
Pushing the Pile. We're pushing the pile, everybody.
Long, right? With Kyle Long. Yep.
Dude, great dude.
Yeah. Your former teammate, yeah? Chicago?
Yeah. And psycho in the best kind of way, I'm sure, as you know.
Yeah. Offensive lineman and blocking tight ends. Interesting people to work with. Mike, we'll have to bond over that another time. It's Mike Renner, everybody. Take Command. We'll be back with another mailbag early next week. Get your questions in on Instagram, website, email. Y'all know how to do it at this point. We're done. See you.